beloved. And you're the beloved tonight. It's amazing, all these people that went on vacation and none of them invited Karen and I to go with them. I can't believe it. We must be in the last days or something or other. And I think we've got a couple of people that's restricted tonight because of COVID. So we'll just be looking at 1 John tonight, chapter 4. And in times past, we've looked at the other chapters in 1 John. And you remember we looked at, in chapter 1, we looked at all of those if statements. And then in chapter 2, we saw the issues of a brother hating his brother, someone hating their brother. And we saw there the issue, if you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness and not in the light. And it was some great if statements there. And then in chapter 3, we saw that hate, if you hate your brother, that hate is the same as murder. And there, you illustrate either you're a child of God or a child of Satan. And in chapter 4, this is a great chapter. It talks about love. And that's a great topic, isn't it? John is the epistle that declared himself to be the one whom Jesus loved. That's a good description, isn't it? And you know what? If you're writing the Gospel of John, you could easily say that. The one Jesus loved. But aren't you thankful tonight that you're the one Jesus loves? And we're going to see that repeated in these verses tonight. And I want to just give you just a little introduction and talk about the topic that we're going to be looking at primarily tonight, and that is love. You know, it's interesting in 1 John, he says, he uses the term beloved 5 times, and he uses the word love 32 times in the verses we're going to be looking at tonight. That's quite a series of love verses. And then he says, love one another 5 times in this epistle, and 3 times in this chapter. And he also tells us God is love in verse 7 and 16. And then he says love is of God. And that's the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. Love is of God. And we're going to see the perfect example of his love. And then two of the great 3:16 verses are John 3:16 is the first one. God so loved the world. And that world that he's talking about is you and me. And also in 1 John 4:11 here, we're going to see it the same thing. And you know, I think when we look at this particular verses of Scripture tonight, we'll see that there was a song that was sang probably 20 or 30 years ago. The name of it was, I Am Loved. I can risk loving you, for the one who knows me best loves me most. I am loved, you are loved. Won't you please take my hand? We are free to love each other. We are loved. And I think you'll see that illustrated in these verses right here in 1 John 4. We are loved. Listen to what he says there in verse 7. I gave everybody an outline. And I don't know if the print is too small. I'm discovering that my print size, I've had to go from, on my notes, from a size 11 font to a size 12. And I don't know if it's, I'll have the same problem tonight. Last night I was speaking in Danville, and my throat messed up on me, and I couldn't talk. And I told everybody when I got my voice back, I'd lost my hair, my eyesight, my hearing, and now I'm losing my voice. But I'm still loved by God. And thankfully, I'm loved by you. And I can call you beloved just like John did. And that's how he starts verse 7 here. Look at what it says. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And again, you can see I've highlighted all the love verses, or the word love or loved, in red here. And it's amazing that we are loved. And what should we do? We should love one another because of it. And he says it repeatedly, love is of God. Now, what is of the devil? It's hate, isn't it? He can stir up all kinds of problems out of hate and anger and frustration in life. But who is the God of love? It's the one we serve, isn't it? The one we came to know. And he says, this is so interesting, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And, you know, you think about that. Some of you here can remember back in the good old days when you were not saved. And you can remember when you didn't feel loved. I know when I left home, when I was 18 years old and went in the Navy, I thought I was not loved. And so I was running to get away from Reidsville. I said, I'll never come back to Reidsville. But it didn't take but 4 months in boot camp for me to want to come home to Reidsville. It's amazing how we change our mind on so many things. But he says here, love, if you love, you're born of God. And I think the kind of love that we read about, that John writes about, is not the kind of love that's a filial love, which is a kind of a lustful love, but it's an agape love. To love one another the way God loves you and for me and me. And you know, I think it's great here. He says, this is one of the indications that you know that you're born of God. And after the next message I do on 1 John, I've got a little sheet that I've put together with all the verses that deals with how to know you're born again. And that expression is found in each one of those verses. And he says here, one of the ways that you know you're born of God is that you love. You love other people. You know, Clark and I are on a prayer meeting in the mornings at 7 o'clock. And the other morning, we had a brother sharing a story about his dad, I think it was. And he was telling us how he got saved in his old age. And he was in his 90s. And he was telling other people about how God loved them. And this guy came up to him and smacked him in the face. And after he had done that and stepped back, this man asked him, he says, do you feel better now? Do you feel better? Now, if there was hate in the heart, what would have been the response? He would have said something terrible or done something terrible to get even with this guy, wouldn't he? But because he knew the Lord Jesus is the Savior, and he was so thankful that he was saved, he made that statement. And that's the only way we can actually love our enemies, isn't it? And to do the things that we know we should do. But he gives a contrast here in these two verses. He says, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I think that is a tremendous statement. God is love. You know, I came in here and I noticed up here, here's a book. Good news, America. God loves you. I don't know who this belongs to, but it's a great book, isn't it? Isn't that a great statement? That's a statement for the whole world. And we all need to be sharing that information with other people. But listen to what it says in verse 9 of this passage. The love of God that was manifested to us. And, you know, I think it's interesting that we looked earlier in this book, the word manifested, And we saw that earlier, we saw that Jesus was manifested to take away our sin. And we also saw that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And here we're going to see that he came to demonstrate his love to us. And the word manifest, I think it's demonstrating to us perfectly his love toward you and me. Listen to what it says in verse 9. And this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God did that for you and for me when we were enemies of his. We were alienated. We were enemies. But what did he do? You know, I think true love demonstrates not what you do for me, and we'll see it in a passage in Matthew chapter 5. It's not what you do for me and how you treat me, but it's whether or not you love me or I love you. Now, we know there's always been moments in our lives where we've acted wrong and we were not being led by love. We were being led by anger and so forth. But he says here that this is what the true love of God is. It was manifested toward us that God sent his only begotten Son. You know, John 3 tells us he didn't come to condemn the world, did he? He came to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, I think it's interesting, we met Lauren down in Salisbury. She forgot some things that she needed to take to Charlotte with us. And so we met and even had dinner together. And it was amazing. I gave some of the John 3:16 to a family that was sitting beside us at another table over there. And this lady came up to me and thanked me for that corn, to giving it to her kids. And she said, "This is amazing. John 3:16. And I said, "Can you quote it to your kids here?" And she just very boldly quoted John 3:16. And you can't believe the smile on those kids' face. And then she said, "You won't believe this." She said, "The other night, this little boy, he said, 'Let's stop listening to all of this other movies or all these other songs on the radio, and let's start listening to some songs about Jesus.'" Out of the mouth of babes, right? That's what we need, isn't it? But he says here, look at what he says in verse 10. "In this is love." This is a beautiful example of love. "Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiations for our sin." That word propitiation here means a satisfactory payment. And you know, we've got a debt. The wages of our sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, isn't it? And he said, it's perfectly illustrated for the problem that we've got. We're all sinners. And we all need his solution to the problem. You know, man's solution is, and you can look at all the world religions today, good works, karma. You know, you get to go through the recycle program if you don't do it right this time. The world can come up with all kinds of ideas how to solve this problem that we've got. But the one who created us had a perfect plan for how to solve our problem, and that was love. God loved us. And because of that love, he was motivated not because of who we are or what we've done for him, but he was motivated by love, right? You know, isn't it amazing when you see little babies and you see how moms can hardly wait to get to that little baby and pick them up? and to love them and tell them how beautiful they are and so forth. Isn't it amazing? Well, that's a good way to demonstrate love, isn't it? But what's the best way to love? Is that's when it really costs you something to go through and do something for somebody that does not deserve it. Now, isn't that exactly what God did for us? Do any of us deserve to have our sins forgiven? None of us, right? God devised the perfect plan, the perfect payment for our sins. But let's go on down here. Look at verse 11. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved the world, we also ought to love one another." You know, it's interesting. We ought to. Have you ever heard that expression? You ought to do this. You ought to do that. Well, he's saying here in this great verse, because God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And we're going to see this issue brought up again in this chapter, and we'll see how we should do it. It says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." You know, Jeff tells us all the time that he's one day closer to perfection. Every day. Because one day we'll be completely conformed to the image of Christ, won't we? But God is working something in our hearts and lives now, and He's trying to perfect us. He's trying to take away all of these bad spots and all these things that's not well-pleasing in His eyes. He's trying to take them away, and the way He's going to do it is through love. And one of the ways that we know that He is doing that is when we're able to love one another. He said, this is what we ought to do. Then we'll see later on, He'll say, this is what we must do. He goes from something, you ought to do this, that this is what is required of you. You've got to do it. But listen to what He says. Again, I think it's a beautiful illustration. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. When that love is being perfected in us, and when we love one another, it's an illustration of God abiding in us. And I've got another handout I want to give y'all at some point in time that deals with the word abide, abiding, and so forth. And all the different times, it's 20 times in John's writings that he talks about abiding and what we need to abide in. And when we do abide in love, that's part of the perfection process. And one of the ways that we know that we are not abiding in Him and we're not going through the perfection process the way He wants us to go through is when we are not loving one another. Listen to what He says here in verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." He said, you can know this. You can know that you're abiding in Him and He is abiding in you. How? By the Spirit. You know, isn't it amazing that when we get saved, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, doesn't He? And when we are letting Him give us the plans in our life, we find that we'll follow these instructions that we are given. And one of the ways that we know that is that He is abiding in us. And you know what that fellow I just mentioned to you about getting slapped in the face, and he asked the other guy, "Are you happy now?" You know, I think when we see ourselves responding to bad things that happen to us in our lives in that particular way, we know that, you know, that's not of myself. God is leading me to make these right responses. And the way I need to do it is, you know, the more time I spend with God in His Word and in prayer with Him, the more I'm able to be obedient to what He wants us to do. But if I'm not in His Word and with Him in prayer, I don't know what He wants me to do, right? But this is great. The Spirit abides in us. And we know that the Spirit that is in us, we saw that earlier in chapter 3, is great, earlier part of chapter 4, is greater than he that is in the world. The devil is the one in the world, isn't he? And he's the one that wants to control us, but when the Spirit of God is controlling us, we know that all of a sudden we know we're saved, we're really abiding in Christ, and we're following him. I love what it says in verse 14 here. Listen to what it says. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Savior of the world. You know, in chapter 1, when we were looking at those first verses there, he said that, you know, he was just sharing with people in this book the things that they had seen, the things that they had heard, and now they were witnessing of those. You know, it's kind of like that woman at the well. You know, she starts off when the Lord starts talking to her, and she calls him, "You Jew, sir, you're a prophet. You're the Messiah." She runs to town and tells everybody, "Come see a man that told me everything I did." And the whole town comes, and the Lord stays there 2 days, and they declare him to be the Savior of the world. That's what we see right here, isn't it? And isn't it amazing? They saw in verse 14, they've seen, and they testify that the Father has seen the Son as the Savior of the world. And you know, I think it's great in our lives that once we see that what God has done for us, and we are so appreciative of that, we want to testify, don't we? We want to tell other people about what He has done for us. You know, I've shared this before. I think when I got saved back in 69, my fellows I worked with, they said, "You won't make it 6 months." But you know what? That was 53 years ago. And I'm still going on. Not because of me, but because of Him and what He's done in my life and how He's helped me on this journey. And I want to testify. Listen to what he says in verse 15. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." That's how we get saved, isn't it? We confess that Jesus is the Son of God and we believe that he was raised from the dead. And when we do that, when we receive him and confess that, we become a child of God, don't we? "As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God." And then we saw earlier there, the Spirit comes and abides in us, doesn't it? It's amazing how all these things fit together. Listen to what he says in verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Now, isn't that a beautiful test? How do you know if God is abiding in you? And how do you know if you are abiding in God? And you've got the assurance of your salvation, and you're willing to talk about it and share it, to testify and to confess this name. You know, it's amazing. When we believe that God has for us, God is love and he abides in him and love abides in him and God in him. You know, if you don't have the love of God abiding in you, you'll have doubts about your salvation. And I think today we have many people who are possibly real believers, but they doubt their salvation. I can remember one time I met a lady. I was flying home from up north, and I always like to go when I'm in a situation like that. I always take my Bible, and it's right in my lap. And this lady came up and sat down beside me, and could I ask you a few questions? How can I know for certain I'm saved? And I shared several verses with her about how to get saved. And she says, well, I know all of those, but I just don't feel it in my life. And I asked her, I said, do you hate somebody? And she was silent for a while. And she said, yes, I am angry at somebody. We changed the conversation and started talking about what we should do to one another. We should love our enemies, shouldn't we? You know, there's some verses I've got on the center part of this outline here. It says in Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. This lady was being consumed by the person she hated and for what he had done to her. But listen to what else he says here. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment that you have, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that one lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. And then, you know, Matthew chapter 5 here, loving your enemies. And I shared this passage with her. And listen to what it says here in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Isn't that what we hear? But listen, he says, but I say to you, and it's amazing the number of times he repeats that statement in a Sermon on the Mount, but I say, you've heard, but this is what I say. This is what you need to do. He said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet one another, greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, how do you become perfect the way your Father is in heaven? It's by loving your enemies, isn't it? And doing good to those who despitefully use you. And bless those who curse you and do all these things evil to you. And that's the solution to the problem, isn't it? And that's how we really know that God is really working in our hearts and lives, when we see this thing acted out. You know, I can remember we were in a Bible college. I can't remember where we were at, but one of the good news guy came up and punched him in the face. And he didn't say a word. He just stood there and you know, showed him grace. Didn't do a word. The guy took off running. About an hour, he comes back. I want to apologize to you for what I did. I should never have done that. Isn't that how it works? When we come and confess our sin and show love toward one another and not hate and anger, that's when we're really demonstrating that God is abiding in us and we're being perfected in his love. But let's just go down the thing here. And he says, love, in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. How is God? How should we be in the world? We should be reflecting what he's done for us, shouldn't we? And it's amazing when we think about that. Love has been perfected, and when it's perfected, when the day of judgment comes, he says here, you'll have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, if you know that you're doing what's right, you don't have any problem walking in front of people, do you? But if you know that there's offenses and you've done something wrong to these people, it's difficult to walk in front of them, isn't it? When we appear before God, what do we want to hear him say? Well done, you good and faithful servant. Thank you for what you've done for me. But listen to what it says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If you're afraid of all of the consequences that you go through in life, you have not been perfected. But I want us to go on. I only have just a few minutes left. And thank you for letting me go a little overtime tonight. It says in verse 19, and I could talk another and give you several illustrations on all these things I've talked about so far. We love him because he first loved us. You know, that word him there in that verse 19, it's not found in the ESV, the Darby, the NLT, or the NIV, or the NASB. In other words, here's what it says in those translations. We love because he first loved us. Okay? If you put to him there, we love him because he first loved us. No, we love other people because he loved us. I think that's what the passage is saying. And that's what we should see in our lives. Listen to what it says in verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, what is he? He's a liar. And we saw that illustrated in other chapters, didn't we? The love of God is not abiding in him. He's a liar, and he's a son of the devil, just like Cain was, who murdered his brother Abel. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Do we have anybody here that's seen God? I don't see any hands going up. In other words, the point here that John's making is, if, you know, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, if we can't love one another, how can we love God whom we hadn't seen? That's amazing, isn't it? And I know you all can see me, and you are commanded to love me, and I'm commanded to love you. But listen to what he says. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We go from an ought to love to a must love. And if we don't do it, if it's not a must in our life, then we are really not following the commandment of love, are we? And none of us do it perfectly. But look at what it says here in 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him also, who loves him who begat also loves him who is begotten of him. And I want to read it, the ESV, I've got it on the outline here. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. In other words, who am I supposed to love? In this verse. Earlier we looked in Matthew, we're supposed to love our enemies, aren't we? But we're supposed to love the other people that's been born of God. We're supposed to love our family members, aren't we? Now, isn't that beautiful when you think about that right there? And listen to what it says in this next verse. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. That's how we know, right? That's how we know love one another, when we love God and keep His commandments. And what are the commandments? They're all wrapped up in one commandment, aren't they? Love. We can look at several verses in the scriptures that'll tell you it's all bound up in really one word in it, love. All the commandments. But look at the last verse there I want us to look at. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. You know, when something is just flowing out of your heart and you can feel it going on, it's not a burden to do it, is it? You know, you can go it. I can remember when I was a young fella and a little boy in the crops on the farm, my mother, she had all kind of games for us to play. And many times we'd be out in the field working, and when it was really hot, and we're singing songs. We're singing songs. And you know what? All of a sudden, the burden of the work, we don't feel it. We feel the joy of the song we're singing. Now, isn't that how it works? When we keep His commandments, they're really not a burden if we're abiding in Him and He's abiding in us. It's not a burden. Aren't you thankful that we can come to the Lord and cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls. Perfect solution to the problem. Motivated by love, it changes the way we respond, doesn't it? We've got so much we could talk about. It's 8 o'clock. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to share these great verses tonight in 1 John. May the Lord bless, brother.